Morning, Booker Tov. Today's daf is Kedushin Daf Chaf Hey. Kedushin Chaf Hey. We left off a little bit behind, and it's actually not a short daf, but it moves. Chaf Dalet Amid Beis. We left off around
five lines.
Yes, five lines. Wind lines start to get wide. Not the widest lines, but five lines from wind starts to get wide. Tanur Abanan Hiko Al Einai. So we're in the middle of discussing the various ways the Eved goes free via the master damaging him. No, obviously, shame the ayin is black and white pasuk. If the master knocks out the eye or the tooth, we said that applies also to the 24 rush evarim, the 24 tips of the evarim as well. If the master knocks it off from the evid, if the master causes damage to the evid, then the evid goes free from those as well. And just to give an overall synopsis of where the daf is heading, we've been discussing so far in the beginning of the sechta, we discussed the ways an isha's nickness in marriage and the way she gets out of marriage, and similarly, the first mission is Gas Yivam as well. We then moved on to Eved Ivri, how an Eved Ivri is Nikna into Avdus, and how he's kind himself. We're now in the middle of the Sugya of Eved Kanani, how Eved Kanani is Nikna into Avdus, and how he's kind himself. So the two ways Eved Kanani is kind himself is Kesef and Shtar, and then this third way, we'll call it, or the obligation, Madam Machlekes yesterday, maybe it's really still, you still need a shtar, you still need to get shikr, but it's an obligation for the Baal, the master, the Adain, to give a get shikr if one of these mumim take place. So most of today's daf is going to be focused on this conversation about different mumim, different blemishes that set the Eved free, or at least that cause the master to be forced to write him a get shikr. And then the end of the daf is going to discuss the kinyanim when it comes to behemoths, large animals, small animals. That's going to be the Amabez of the daf. Okay, so Tarabon. Amabez of daf chafei. We're still chafdal and base. Again, about 15 lines off the bottom of the page. Tarabon. He called inai. If the master hit the Eved on his eye directly, the keisa, and it weakened the eye, al shina v'nada, on his tooth, and it loosened the tooth. So the halacha is as follows. In yachlish tamish b'm achshev, if the Eved is still able to use it, it's still usable. Obviously, it's been damaged, but it's still usable. Then in yachlish, that's not sufficient for the Eved to go free. Then lav, but if it's not usable anymore, even if it's not totally dislodged, the tooth, or the guy is not, the eye became not just weaker, the eye became weaker, but he's not fully blind, it sounds like, but it became much weaker, it's not usable anymore, that's enough, that evidence, yatsa v'mecheres, ever will go free. Tan yidach, another b'risa, harishayis enikeya v'tzima, the eye was already weak, it was kuya, the eye already was weak, and the master completely blinded him. Shinai, geduda v'pila, the tooth was already loose, and the master knocked it out. So here we go the other way. How do we know, what's the criteria if the Eved is able to go free? If they had some functionality before the master completely wiped it out, then Eved Yatsa, that's clear that the master knocked out his tooth, knocked out his eye, and the Eved will indeed go free. But if it already wasn't functional before the master did this, you know, final blow, then Eved will not go free, because it has to be that the master is taking it from a position of being functional to not functional. So if it was originally fully functional and he made it, you know, very much not functional, even if it still has some shaykhus, if he can't really use it, even though the tooth is still there, the eye is still there, the Eved goes free. On the flip side, if it already was damaged, but it was functional, and the master took it to being not functional at all, again, the Eved would go free. Says the Gemara Pesuicha, why do I need both these dinim, both these cases? If you tell me the first case, Mishum Meikar Nair Bari Ashton Hara Krisha. When the master got involved with the Eved, he had perfectly good vision, and now he's got weak vision. Where the tooth was perfectly fine, and now it's loose. So maybe over there, we say that the Eved goes free. In the second case, to make Karnami Nair Krisha, in the second case, where even when the master got involved, before the master got involved with Eved, it already was weak vision, already was a very loose tooth. So maybe there, Eved wouldn't go free. Kamashman, the Eved goes free if there was functionality, and now that functionality is gone. Viashmin and Han, if you tell me this second case, because the mice at the end of the day, the guy, the Eved is now totally blind, or the tooth is totally gone. Abahacha, but in the first price, place on the Gamri, where the master didn't combine them completely. So maybe over there, the Eved does not go free. Tzricha, so the Chiddush is, yeah, he does, if it's considered as if the function of the eyesight is gone, or the function of the tooth is gone, even though the tooth is still there, or the eye is still there, there's maybe somewhat vision, it's enough for the Eved to go free. So we have to teach a Chiddush in both scenarios. It doesn't have to be dafka that you completely got rid of the sight and completely got rid of the tooth, nor does it have to be that you're starting from a point where it was fully strong to begin with. Either way, if the master damages the functionality, he ruins the functionality of the eye of the tooth, that's enough to set the Eved free. The freshman discuss about, when we talk about not being fully blind, but still being halakhically blind, so what's about a case where a person can't really he was able to see just colors. He couldn't really see things properly, but colors he could make out. And now by the master damaging him, he lost the ability to see colors. Is that also considered he was able to see, and now he can't see, and therefore it's enough to set that free? Or just being able to see colors is already not enough for real, for a major function, and therefore it's not enough to set that free? It's a discussion in the Mefarshim. Tarabon. Harishahayu Rabbi Reifa. Let's say the master was a doctor. Vamalei l'chalei enai. And the chiddush is that it's a chiddush, even though he was a doctor. The point is, and the Eved told the master do some sort of eye medication. And in the act of doing the eye medication, the master accidentally blinded the Eved's eye. Or he told his master to clean a tooth for him, do a little tooth scraping. And what happened? And this, the way the first explained is they used to scrape around like really they do the same thing today. They scrape around like the gums, flossing around the gums in order to make sure there wasn't extra residue there. And the master accidentally knocked out the tooth. Sichek ba'adim, the Eved laughs at the master. Yetzel Cheres goes free, meaning he called the master to do something to help him. Signed the waiver, but the master lemaisa knocked out his eye or knocked out his tooth, and therefore the Eved will go free. Or she can be like, "Emir, no." V'shichas of the lashon of the pasuk is. A lashon of destruction. Ashishkama Shikhasa has to be the Eved only goes free if the master had a covenant of Shikhasa. The master is trying to hit the Eved and hurt the Eved, and maybe he was trying to blind him or knock out his tooth, but he's trying to hit him. He had an intent of Shikhasa, and then he knocks out the eye or knocks out the tooth. Yeah, in that case, we're going to say that the Eved goes free. But if the master is trying to help as a doctor, the Eved doesn't go free, according to Shikomil. Tanakama clearly argues. Ask the Gemara, what are they going to do with the Shikhasa? Rabban of Shikhasa, Mavdle. What tactic do they going to do with this lashon of Shikhasa? They need to look at the fine by Israel. If a master he stuck his hand into the womb of his maidservant, he's trying to deliver her child. And accidentally, this guy didn't and obviously wasn't trying to do this, but while he stuck his hand into the womb to try to deliver the baby, he poked out the baby's eye. The halacha is pater. He's pater. My taima. Here's where he dashed the shichasa. He's coming to help. It's not at that point he's coming to do damage. Is he chayef for knocking out the eye and the Eved will go free? But if he's coming to help, then there wouldn't be a din of yetzel cheres. It's because it doesn't meet the criteria of v'shichasa. So the question is, the obvious question is, what's the difference? We're saying when the master is a doctor and he's coming to help, according to Shigul Mil Taka, that v'shichasa applies, and the Eved won't go free if the doctor accidentally damaged. But according to Rabbanan, v'shichasa does not apply there. And the Eved would indeed go free if the master knocks out the eye of the tooth. But he's coming to deliver a baby. V'shichasa tells me that you never intend to do negative, to do bad. Only if V'shichasa says only when you have intent to do bad is there going to be a freedom with this damage. But if you never intend for bad, then there's no freedom. What's the chilek? So Taisus really asks another question. And with Taisus' question, it addresses the answer. Jump into Taisus, third Taisus in the page. Mibayalei l'chitanya harisha chishit. So it sounds like over here, everyone holds that when you didn't have intent for the eye, you putter. So right away, Tais already answered the question. In the case of the doctor, the doctor with the Eved, the doctor had a mind for the Eved's eye. He didn't have a mind for bad, so it's interesting that it's not a shichasa, but he did have a mind to tend to the eye, and he did damage the eye. He was trying to help, but he ended up hurting. Okay, it still goes free. V'shichasa comes to exclude according to the Chamim, where he didn't even have intent for the eye at all. He just and therefore, since there's no intent for the eye at all, he's just trying to deliver the baby. Therefore, he's not going to be liable in such a case. But yes, Taisvis. The tame of the parakeets in a regular, we have Mavakam Dav Chavav Amaraba, Heis Menachas Lei Evan Mechaker, if a person had a stone on his chest. We're reading in Taisus over here. Flehikab Amaylam, and he had no clue. He was sleeping, we didn't recognize someone put a stone on his chest. Amen, he stood up. Venafla Ayan Evid, and then when he stood up, the stone fell into the eye of the Evid and knocked it out. It's a Plukta Shigumi of Rabbanan. The more this is Machlakas Shigumi on the Rabbanan, over there he certainly had no intent to do anything with the eye. He was simply standing up. And the rock that was on his body fell on, knocked out the eye of the Eved, and was saying, according to the Chamim, Taka, he doesn't go free, because it wasn't Mashichasa, according to the Chamim, sorry, according to Shigomil, he won't go free, because it's missing Mashichasa, but according to Chamim, he still go free. Eye over there, there's no intent for the eye. V'yesh Leimar, the shiny hacha, the ikatarti l'tevusas. Taisa says, like there's as follows, in our case, by delivering a baby, there's two milas. What are the two milas? Number one, shumaskav l'teva, which that you have by the doctor as well. Let's not forget that. Shumaskav l'teva. And number two, v'leinaskav l'ayin klal. And number two, you weren't maskav for the eye. Avahida, some case of avakama, have a dumi dulchil la'ayin is similar to the doctor case, the summer where the guy had a mind to fix the eye and he ended up blinding him. By the case of Bavakama and by the case of the doctor with the eye, in both those cases, you only have one of the milas, not both. Meaning, the two milas would be, number one, I'm just trying to help. Not v'shichasla. Number two, I didn't even intend to go near the eye. That wasn't part of my work over here. Had nothing to do with the eye. I was trying to deliver a baby. So in that case, we have both milas, says the Chamim, it's not v'shichasla, the Evel will not go free. But in either the case we had earlier before the Gemara, a couple lines ago, by the doctor, we had a mind to tend to the eye, so he is connecting to the eye. Yes, he didn't want to damage it, he did want to help, which is a mila, but not enough of a mila. That's still not considered excluded of Mashikasa, or the case of Bava Kama, where he didn't have intent for the eye at all, but he also wasn't trying to help. So if you have to have both the milas to be exempt, to have this leniency of Mashikas according to Rabbanan, according to Shagamil, no, any single mila is enough. If you didn't have intent, you tried to help, that's all enough to say that v'shichas wouldn't apply. Okay, says more further. V'idach, now that we're saying the Chamim use v'shichas to tell me about delivering a baby, they exempt in that case, the Mar S, that why didn't Rosh Gamil say that's what the pasuk's for, and not have his drasha? V'idach, v'shichas, shichas and afka, he darshens a double drasha from v'shichas, the reason being that the first explained, meaning if whichever one is the smaller chiddush, I should only take that case. So, for example, we're saying according to Chamim, delivering a baby and accidentally knocking out the eye of the baby is going to be exempt. It's not going to set the abbot free. Whereas the doctor trying to tend to the eye will set the abbot free. So, Shigumi also should only have v'shichasa for the case of delivering the baby and not for the regular doctor. On that, the answer is Shigumi darshan's a double drasha from v'shichas because he could have said v'shichas and says v'shichasa. He has two drashas there. The Rabbanan v'idach shichas shichasa le darsh. They didn't have this diak of shichas. So they had two drushas. They only had one drusha, and they used it for the case of delivering a baby. But the case of a doctor is not going to be exempt. Is that if it's going takan to go free according to Rabbanan, according to Rosh Gamliel, not. Amar of Sheshes. Harisha is anus muya. Let's say the eye was already blinded. V'chipta. The eye was already blinded. Wasn't functioning. But the master knocked it out totally. So it took the eye out of its socket. Evidence of mechiris. That's also a reason for the effort to go free. My time, mechus evu, because that's a new madrega called mechus evu. It's missing an organ, it's missing an evu, and when the master knocks off an evu, the evu goes free. The tanatuna, and the rabbi is a proof to Rav Sheshes' din for the following brisa. Thomas Vachas Behema, the brisa tells us that when it comes to animals, when it comes to karbanos, animals, we say we're makbid on Thomas, means whether it's a tam, complete, or balmum. Namely, a balmum is pasal from the vech, a tam. Obviously, an animal is complete, kosher. And Zachris, we're also not particular on the gender. Shtam could be both in a keva and in addition to Zachar. But other kabbalas, Chatayis is typically in a kevas. Asham, Ayla is typically a Zachar. We're makbar on the gender of the animal, and we're makbar on the animal being complete when it comes to behemoths. Vein tam Zachris Baifas. When it comes to birds, we're not makbar on being a tam, and we're not makbar on the gender. So we're not makbar when it's a male or female bird. We're also not makbar whether it's a Thomas, whether it's a complete bird or a balmum. However, Yacha, I would think Yafshagap of Nikta Ragla, Nechtaina, I would think that if that's the case, even if the wing got dried out, or the leg was severed, or the eye was removed, that's also a kosher carbon by a bird because we don't care about Thomas. No, that we care about. From the birds, but not all birds. And we understand that to mean, what's the pasuk excluding? You cannot bring a carbon from a bird that's missing an aver. A bird that's a balmum, no problem. A bird that's missing an aver is pasuk as a carbon. So the Gemara is just saying that we see this idea that being a mechus aver is a graver wound than stam balmum. So too, by the eved, having the eye removed is a greater mum, even though the eye wasn't functioning. It's a greater mum, and that alone would also set the eved free.
The same heterim would apply, meaning if it wasn't niskaven the eye and it wasn't niskaven
lechayra. If you have the same story where you're trying to help you're trying to deliver the baby, lechayra, all that would apply. Lechayra, that would apply. That's correct. Now, the first discussed by the case of Yashva Gapai. Yashva Gapai means the wing got dried out. The wing got dried out. Now we're calling that a mechus aver. So I understand the regal being knocked off or the eye being knocked out. That's literally missing the eye. It's missing the leg. But Yashva Gapai sounds like just that the wing was dry. It was not functional. So that's, I would assume that that would be considered a mum, not a mechus aver. So the Rashba quotes from the Raivad, who bavarns this, and he explains that even though the limbs are intact, that wing is still there, because kol keichai of a bird is its ability to fly. A bird's unique characteristic is that it flies. And now that its wing is totally dried up and useless, it can't fly. That's a madrega of mechus aver. Very interesting. Meaning, it's not really physically missing an aver, but conceptually, because that's so integral to a bird, if it's dried up and it's not useful, it's considered missing an aver. Very interesting that gets lumped together, yav shigapai, with the missing aver, and not with the idea of being balmam. Okay, says more further. Amar b'chia bar ashi, amar rav. Haisaloi yiseir v'chatzka. What if the eved had an extra finger and the master cut it off? Evyas v'mecheres. If the eved had an extra finger and the master cut it off, that's considered knocking off a rashi avarim, and the eved goes free. That's only if the finger was together with the other fingers, but the row, meaning he had six fingers in place instead of five, but it was on the row of fingers. Right? If it's on the shoe over there, on the row of fingers, that's when it's considered a mum to take it off. Otherwise, it could be I don't want to say it's doing a favor, but it's not considered a mum. You're not knocking on an aver because it's not considered a normal aver in the first place. Savi de Nezisa, the elders of Nuzina, the elders of the place called Nuzina, lost the Pirkei Rav Chizda. They didn't come to Rav Chizda's drasha. Zil tzainu. Go. What does that mean? Tzainu says Rashi. Go tell them to go hide. Lahaskir leishav abayis v'zel losha nidu, says Rashi. Basically, go put them in cheirim. They didn't come to shear. Put them in cheirim. What's pshat? They didn't come to shear. Put them in cheirim. So Ben Yad elaborates and says because these were elders of Nuzina, were chashuva people, and they're not coming to shear. What does it do? Of course, it caused other people to also be lax and not go to shear, and therefore, if Chizda was upset and said, "Rav Nuna, put them in cheirim." Also, Amalos, Rav Nuna went and asked them, "My time, Amalos, Rav Nuna, picker, why you come not coming to the shear of Chizda?" Amalei, they answered, "My nasi, why should we come to be Nimine Milsa? Because we ask him a question, Le Pashlan. We ask Rav Chizda a question, and he doesn't answer us. So why should we come?" Amalos, Rav Nuna said, "Mi ba'isu, minai, mi di. Have you asked me a question, Vavshinul, and I didn't answer you?" So Baimina, so they said, okay, they asked him the following question. Now, before we go further, what does it help? The question was why they weren't going to Rav Chizda this year. So they said, because Rav Chizda, we ask him questions, he doesn't answer us the question. So the Rosh Rav Nuna's response, did you ask me the question and I didn't answer? Like, the question was, why not go Rav Chizda this year? So the first one was, I forgot where I heard this from. I heard it from Rabbi Kanner yesterday, but I forgot where he saw it. He was quoting from his Eiser Chachma, I think it was, that one of the verses explained over here on the Gemara that Rav Amnuna was like a Talmud of Rav Chizda. So Rav Amnuna was saying, did you even ask me a question I couldn't answer? Because if I can answer, then he could for sure answer. Right? I'm the Talmud. If I can answer, he can for sure answer. The verse say further, along those lines, but slightly different, not only was he the Talmud of Rav Chizda, Rav Amnuna was the Meturgaman. He was like he used to have like the Maggid Shir didn't have a microphone and would say the Shir, and then someone would call out the Shir out loud, and not only call it out, they would kind of elaborate. So Ramuna says, I'm the one that's supposed to be elaborating, explaining, not him. So if you have any issues, ask me the question and I'll answer. They first explain further the issue the Sabin Azaina had with the fact that when they said the BS question doesn't answer, the issue was that the halach is that when you teach Torah to someone who's very knowledgeable, who's able to understand svaras and ideas. So you teach the din with all the nuance and with all the pratim. We're not scared that they're going to make some sort of mistake. But when you teach Torah to amaratzim, you're very, very nervous that if we get into the details, the nuance, they may get caught up in that and make mistakes trying to extrapolate on the din and make issues. So we just teach them the basic halacha without explanation. We say, here's the halacha, no explanation. So the Sabi and Nezina were somewhat insulted that here we are, we're ready, we're on a madrega to get proper pshat with all the underlying ideas and not to mess things up. And we're being taught a basic without explanation. So based on what we're saying, Rav Nuna's response was, number one, I'm the Talmud, so if I can answer, then he for sure can answer. And number two, it's really my job to explain it to you. Let me explain it to you. Let me satisfy the job. Unfortunately, in the story, they can ask him a question and he won't have the answer, which messes up the whole system. Okay, says the Gemara, so Boimineh, yes, in the Valley Shiloh. Eved is seriously rabbit baits him. An Eved whose master was Masarism. He caused him to become a Sris, become, unable to have children with baits him by doing damaging the testicles. Kimum Shabagali Dami. Remember, I really should have chazed this over before we started today. We had discussed yesterday that the basic idea of shame va'ayin, or mumim, are blemishes that are in the open, they're exposed, and they're exposed and they don't regenerate. They don't come back to their being their initial stage. So to umamim of the body, they're exposed and don't regenerate, are enough to set Eved free. The Mara thought also about, the Mara thought to introduce the idea of batim malachtoi. The Mara fell off that. Okay, but as long as it's the body part is exposed and the mum is in a place where it does not regenerate, doesn't get better, that sets the Eved free. So the question is the Beitzim considered exposed? What's the Shaila? Kimosh begali dami, aylai. What's the shayla? The shayla is very simple. It's very noticeable. It's very noticeable because the baits and they hang from the body. It's noticeable, but lamaisa they are hidden. They're hidden inside the sack, and therefore maybe it's considered not begali. So says Marlev. Biade. Rav didn't have an answer. Amr lai. They said to Amnuna, Mashmacha, what's your name? Amalu Amnuna. He said, my name is Amnuna. Amr lai. They said to him, Lav Amnuna Elakarnuna. Your name isn't Amnuna. Rather, your name is Karnuna, instead of, you know, meaning it was like a dig, you're not a Tam Chacham, rather you're Karnuna, means someone that's not so knowledgeable. Rashi explains it's someone that's Yeshve Kronis, someone who hangs out in the corners, who schmoozes, not someone that's so knowledgeable, jump to the top tasis, Pish because it's Yeshve Kronis, Atta, Flebal, Tayra, Rain, Chanala Pirish, Atta, Imr, Hamnuna, Hainu, Cham Nuna, Dag, Cham, Veinkan, Elakar. Your name is Amnuna, which sounds like hot fish, but it's not hot, it's really cold. El Karnuna Dug Shukar. It's like a cold fish, not a hot fish. I'm not sure what the knock on the cold fish versus hot fish is, but the point is you're not up to par. Asaka May de Rav Chizav.
What about Hoshit Bezokin and
says the Gemara? So he came from Rav Chizda. Amalei, also came from Amalei from Chizda, Rav Amnuna, Masisaba Aminach. What they asked you could have been answered from a Mishnah. The Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, there's a Mishnah, the Goyim, the Tanan. We're actually going to go through we're going to travel a little bit through different places in Shas in this Amud over here. We're moving now to the Goyim. We say over there as follows. There's 24 tips of limbs of a person that do not have the din of Tumas Michya. Tumas Michya, just to remind ourselves quickly, is the din of Tumas Taras. A person gets a discoloration of his skin, but the point is, it's if you find within the discoloration is a live patch of skin, that's Tumas Michya, that's a simon of Tuma by Tzeras. And we're saying these 24 tips of Eivarim do not have the Tumas Michya, and the reason is, speak out before we read the Eivarim inside, because it has to be something that the Kayan can see all at once. So a flat surface, you can see at once. So if it's on the flat side of an arm, a leg, any other body, the other parts of the body is fine. But these tips of Eivarim, for example, the fingertip, so it's rounded, so you can't really see the whole nega at once. You're not really viewing it at once. You're kind of looking around in piecemeal. Yet you could ultimately see the whole thing, but you're not seeing it at once. That doesn't have a din of Tumah. Says the Gemara mission over there, Veilu Haim, these are 24 Rashay, it's Rashay Verma, don't have Tumah. Michya, Rashay, it's Pais, Yadayim, Raglayim, the 20 fingers and toes. Rashay is Naim, the ears, that's two more, 22. Rashay Chaitim, the nose is 23. Rashay Gavia, and the tip of the male member is 24, of the male member, that gets 24. That's what we've been referencing throughout with the Gartha Fadim as well, knocking out the Rashay Verma, setting free. Vidad, Rashay Tadish, Bisha, by a woman, you have two more. Well, she's missing the Rashay Gavia, obviously, but you have the tip of the breasts. Vidayimer, Afbish, it's rounded, it can be rounded by a man as well. It applies to men as well. Okay, but Tanya Allah, and we learned over there, but Kulam, Evi Yetzim Mecheris, and all these 24 Rashi Varm, Evi goes free. So, Rabbi Eimer, Afasiris. Rabbi then came along and added, Afasiris, also, Siris, that's going to be the part that we need. But Naza Eimer, Afalashin, also the loss of the tongue. Amamar. Rabbi Eimer, Afasiris, if he's misaris to Evan, if he causes him to no longer be able to have children, that sets him free. Siris to mind. What form of Siris? Siris is just emasculating. What form of it is taking place? Is it knocking out the testicles? Is it knocking out the gid itself? That's the member itself. Elam is Siris to gid. If you're talking about the male member, Haini Gavia, it was listed. The male member was one of the 24 things listed. Elav, Siris debates him. Elamai, he's talking about Siris debates him. And we see very clearly that Rebbe's adding that Siris debates him is something that sets David free, and the Tanakam held it wasn't part of the list. So that's Mamash Machlaikis. Their Shaila of Savi Dinazina is clearly a Machlaikis, the mission over there in the Goyim, or at least in the Mishnah / with the Brisa there. Says the more Rebbe Eimer, period. So that was the time that Rav Chizda said why the Rav Nuna, you should have answered from that Mishnah, period. The more now just goes and analyzes the Brisa. Rebbe Amraphasis, Rebbe says that the Sris is in addition to the items listed in the Mishnah, Sris also sets the Eved free, or also doesn't, says to have a free. Rebbe Lashon Lai, why does Rebbe not mention about the Lashon that Ben Isaiah discussed, the tongue? the Mar says, for a mini, or the Mar asks rhetorically, for Rabbi Lashalay, does Rabbi not include tongue? For a mini, Hari Misha Haya Maza, someone who's sprinkling, again, next sugya. You know, we've gone from Avad Megong free to Tumas Nega, Saras, to now sprinkling the Paradim waters. It's got to be sprinkled on an exposed part of the body. Hari Misha Haya Maza, someone who's having the Paradim waters pissed in a minute to Zaza al Piv, and the Hazah went onto his mouth. Rabbi Amizah, Rabbi says it's a good hazah. The Chacham Eliezer, Chacham says it's not a good hazah. Now, when it says it went into his mouth, and the question of the good hazah or not is the shaila is it considered exposed or not? If we're talking about the outside of the mouth, of course it's exposed. Elamai, the Maris was talking about the tongue, and the shaila is whether the tongue is considered exposed. Rabbi says it's a good hazah. It's considered exposed. If it's considered exposed, then that should be exposed also to be considered an aver that the eved goes free with if the master knocks it out or the master detaches part of the tongue. Says the Gemara, the Chama says it's no good. But the point is, my love, Hashem, we're talking about the tongue, and we see Rebbe holds that's considered an exposed. It's an exposed aver. Loi al sfasav. We mean literally the lips. Al sfasav shita. The lips. When you say we sprinkle the part of the mortars on the mouth, that it works according to Rebbe. If someone at the lips, lechare it's pashut should work. And the Gemara says we should be asking stronger. Not only is it pashut, the Gemara really means to ask. The shita loid lami adds. According to Rebbe, it should be pashut. That's good. According to Chama, what's pashut is no good. The Chama says it's not no good. Well, how would be no good if someone at the lips? The Gemara says no. That there's time, a person often can take his lips and he can purse them close. He can, fold the lips inwards and all you see is like the mustache and beneath the lip, but the lip itself is totally unexposed and therefore it's not considered, it's considered hidden. Therefore Rebbe says that no, that the lips are considered good enough to be considered an Aver Shebegoli, and the part of the mortars work on the lips, they do work on the lips. And the Shitin learned to me adds, according to the Chachamim, who are arguing, we have to say, if talking about the lips, that because the lips are often, the person purses the lips together and you don't see them at all and when it's pursed together, therefore even when it is open, it's not considered an exposed aver. Okay. Vatanya, the Mara says, one second. But we learned in the Brisa, al shaynai. It says in the Brisa very clearly, al shaynai, that when we talk about the part of the mortar is being sprinkled on the mouth, it says specifically al shaynai. The Brisa elaborates, that means the tongue, not the lips. Which means, and Rebbe's saying that the tongue works according to this, which means Rebbe holds the tongue is considered an Eva Shabagoli, and therefore an Eva should go free. Right? So why did he not agree to Ben Azai in the Brisa that Ben Azai says Afalashin? Rebbe says Afasris, he should agree to Ben Azai as well. Says more further, V'yay Tanya, we went to the Brisa, we should need to Rebbe Lashin, a Bechar, next topic, a Bechar is Balmum. Allah says you don't bring it on the Mizbeach anymore. He shecht in the backyard. He still gives the Kayim, but he shecht in the backyard. But what's considered about Mumbai Bukhar? Shouldn't the rave of Lashon? If rave of the tongue was removed, Rabbi Aimer, rave of Medaber Shabbal Shaini. Rabbi says it means most of the Medaber, most of the speaking part of the tongue is what makes the Bukhar unfit. It's got to be most of the, by the way, it's the speaking part. In the first explained, you have the back of the tongue gets fully attached to the mouth of the animal, and the front half, where the tongue flaps, that's the rave of Medaber. So it doesn't have to be rave of the tongue. Is missing, or rave of the medaber portion, rave of the front portion. By the way, Rebbe saying that the tongue is certainly considered a mum shebegali in order to be considered a mum by bechar, and the bechar can't go on the mizbeach. So we have kamarayas that Rebbe holds that the tongue sailagabi sprinkle part of the waters sailagabi bechar. The tongue is considered a aver shebegali. Ella, the Gemara says you're right. Rebbe Amir sris flamibay lashon. Rebbe came to add sris that if he's misaris, if he makes the sterile by knocking out the testicles, that's included in a mum shebegali. And I don't have to tell you the tongue is certainly mum shebegali. And Benazir Lashon have a serious lay. Benazir came along and said dafka the lashon, but he disagrees about serious. With my af, I Benazir says af, and it sounds like he's going after Rebbe and saying af. Sounds like he's adding to Rebbe. No, akamaisa. He's adding to the 24 of the brisa earlier, but really Rebbe's more encompassing. Rebbe's af serious includes af serious and af lashon, whereas Benazir only included the lashon, not serious. Ask the Mara, so wouldn't it make more sense to put Benazir first and Rebbe second? Yachi nakmi the Benazir brisa. Put Benazir first. Benazir adds to the list of 24 Ivarim, he adds Lashon. And then Rebbe adds, in addition to Lashon, he adds also Sris. Should it go that way? The Gemara says, you're right. Tana Shama Rebbe, Vishama Vikava, Vishama Benazai, Vitani, Vimishla Zazim Bekaime. You're right. But the Tana had heard Rebbe's din first, and he taught it as part of the Brisa. And then he heard Benazir's statement, which is another addition. He didn't want to switch up the teaching he had already taught, and therefore he left it as this. So really, Rebbe should go second because it's more encompassing than Benazai. But once he taught it that way, he left away two important points from Rashi. Number one, Rashi explains over here, the idea of the Tana was covered Mishnah Mekayme is because once the Mishnah was committed to memory in a certain way, even if it gives off a little bit of a mistaken mashmayas, because it sounds like Benaz is more encompassing than Rebbe, we'd rather leave it first with the way it was taught, that Rebbe was in addition to the Mishnah, and then Benaz in addition to Rebbe, because once it's memorized, fooling with people's memory is not a good thing. It's much better to leave it in a way that the Talmidim remember properly. Rashi on the idea of Rebbe Medaber, Rashi explains when we talk about the animal, Rebbe Medaber, I think it's fairly maybe self-evident, but Rashi says, Avada, animals don't talk. So we talk about rave of the part of the tongue for talking. Animals don't talk. It means rave of the part that a human uses to talk by a bechar. That's the part they're talking about. Okay, I know it's late. Let's go a little further. We're going to fall a drop behind. Let's at least try to get the Mishnah. Maze says the Gemara. Amarula. Hakam ayin b'lashon linyan tum. Everyone agrees the guy with the tongue, the guy with tumah, the gully who eats the sheretz is considered gully with regard to tumas sheretz. My taima ashiga by machmana v'haynami bar nigihu. Because the Torah says that the litmus test, the idea, the hagdara for tumas sheretz is that which the sheretz touches, and the tongue is certainly exposed that the sheretz come in contact with the tongue. That's not a shayla. Linyan tefila lagavi going to the mikveh when one has to purify himself katam adami. Everyone agrees the tongue is considered hidden, and therefore when he goes to the mikveh, you don't have to get water on the tongue. My taima. The Torah says he should wash his body in water. The flesh that we're talking about is on the outside of his body. So only on the outside, not the tongue. The tongue is going to be excluded from the obligation of to surround the tongue with water in the mikveh, and it's fine. It's considered tamun legavidat, and going into the mikveh with the mouth closed is fine. Nechu el inaza. The chiluk was the sprinkling of the part of the waters. Rebbe says, compared to tumah. And since it's compared to tumah, just like it's subject to tumah, the tongue, so too, sprinkling the waters on the tongue will work. It's considered an exposed part of the body, and it works. Rabbanan compared to tefillah. And they both argue in the following pasuk. Rebbe says that the one who is tar sprinkles on the one who is tameh on the third day and the seventh day, and he makes him tar. The point is, you're putting together the words, he shall purify him, with the words of tameh. So we learn that the sprinkling of the paradumah waters could be on any part that's subject to tumah. We said the sheretz definitely could touch the tongue and render the person tameh, and therefore the sprinkling could also be on the tongue and render him tameh, render him tar. You don't need sprinkling for sheretz, you need sprinkling for tumas meis, but the point is, we're comparing the tumah to tara. Rabbanan sarvi, t'chit be amishvi, v'chibes begad v'rechaz mayim, we compare the becoming tar to the washing of the begadim, b'mayim, and just like when you go into the mikveh, the tongue is not considered an avid that needs to be exposed to the mikveh, so too by the paradim waters, the tongue is not good for the sprinkling of the waters. Rabbanan, why do they compare it to the din of tvila? Why do they compare it to tumah? It's simple, tar matar havilei melef, because it makes sense to compare going to a mikveh and sprinkling the paradim waters, which are both Tara processes. Why does he compare it to tumah? Let him compare the sprinkling of the paradim waters on the tongue. Let him compare it to tefillah and say it's no good. Because the pasuk says wash the begadim. That's being mafsik the inyan, whereas the inyan of tumah, the words of tumah tara are lumped together. V'savar Rebbe, ask him our question now. Does Rebbe hold the inyan tefillah to katam dami? Does Rebbe really hold that the guy be going to the mikveh? The tongue is considered tumah. It's considered hidden. And you don't have to immerse it in water, the tongue, when you go to the mikveh. She went to the mikveh and came out. And they found the bone stuck between her teeth. Rebbe required a second tefillah. Bomb taina. You see, Rebbe required a second tefillah for a bone between the teeth. The teeth, like the tongue, are inside the mouth. And there was a chatzitz in the teeth. And Rebbe said, you need a new tefillah. Obviously, the Gemara is assuming that means the water has to, if there's a chatzitz problem, must mean the water has to go into the mouth. Answers the Gemara, big aside, need to be a spine of Inan. You don't need the water to actually go in the mouth. You need the water to be able to go in the mouth. If there's a chatzitz in the mouth, it's still a problem. That's why, of course, we know that the nashim, when they go to the mikveh, they have to make sure the mouth is fully clean. If there's even certain foods they don't eat the day of going to the mikveh, because we're scared it's going to get stuck between the teeth. So if there's something in the mouth, that's not a problem. If it's a chatzitz, if there's something in the mouth, it presents a chatzitza, but not that the water actually has to go there. It has to be able to go there, like the famous klal. Kedur b'zeira, damar b'zeira, kara l'bila b'ila makeves, kosheinu l'bila b'ila makeves. That which is fit for mixing is not makev. That which is not fit for mixing, that mixing is a problem. We know 60 asrenas can be mixed in one clean. More than 60 asrenas don't mix properly. The halacha is by mincha. If you don't mix it, it's amayakev. You don't have to mix it, but you have to at least be able to mix it. If you weren't able to mix it, that's going to be a pasta. Says the Gemara top on base. Kitzanai. The Gemara says this is back to the machlekes about the beitzim, whether it's considered a hidden or not. Says the Gemara machlekes tanayim umach v'kas v'nas v'karas. The pasuk describes different blemishes by the male organ: squashed, crushed, torn, severed. Kulam beitzim. The first this Tana says it's all talking about the but talking about the beitzim, but the testicles it's all referring to. By the way, talking about behema being fit, not fit for a carbon, but talking about damages to the behema's beitzim. Tivrei Behuda, but beitzim let begin. The Gemara says is it talking about beitzim only, or maybe refers to the gid as well, the member itself. Says the Gemara, meaning the Gemara's question is, if the beitzim are considered exposed and fit to be considered a mum, certainly the gid would be a mum. Gemara says, you're right, Ella, kulam af be beitzim, to Rida. Rida is saying, it applies also to the beitzim, certainly all those psulim we just described apply to the gid itself, but they also apply to the beitzim. Rabbi Zmak of Eimer, kulam begid, all these mamishes refer dafka to the gid, not to the beitzim, because the beitzim are covered, they're not exposed. Mamish, our discussion is this machlekes. Again, we're talking over there about an animal being kosher as a carbon or being pasul as bamum. But the same machlekes will apply to an eved going free, whether we consider the beitzim exposed or not. Beis yamer machvekus as beitzim. When we talk about squashed or crushed, that applies even to the beitzim. Nasa v'karis. When we talk about torn and severed, that's begin in the tafka by the gid, not by beitzim but not by the beitzim. The point is this three machlekes about what's considered a mum by behema or if it's, by beitzim. If it's considered a mum. Or in part, or in Gadzin, it's three machlekes, would be the same machlekes pronounced by an Evan if Evan goes free by this type of blemish. If the master blemishes the Beitzim, we'll have to leave the Mishnah of Behemagasa for tomorrow, Mitzvah, a little bit behind. Have a wonderful day.